Christians in this position. And what I'm trying to talk about is being able to be content, to be satisfaction, to be able to have ease of mind, the satisfying of the mind, some of the definitions of these particular thoughts that I'm going to try to present. The thought of being pleased. So that is a disposition of an individual, and that's what the Christian needs to be. I can remember years ago, an old saying kind of going around the farmers, more or less, that, well, that old mule, you know, he's just got a terrible disposition. He just, sometimes you just can't get him to do anything, so you got to get his attention. And so some of the farmers talked about, and I hope it's not true, but more than likely it was just an example. So you just got to walk up and hit him upside the head with a two before, get his attention, and then he'll do what you want him to do. Now, sometimes maybe we need to be prodded along, not hitting the head with a two before, but need to be prodded along in order to have a disposition of satisfaction of what we are trying to accomplish as a Christian. The also thought is along the line of being characteristic. And that involves a peculiar, a distinctive, distinguishes a person or a thing from another. So we all have characteristics in our life that makes us different. I don't know about you, but in my little bit of association with computers, when I go on Facebook, the server that I have, and I don't know why, but all of a sudden, they've got a little thing that pops up that I have to click that I'm not a robot. I don't know if any of you have that problem or not with your servers. And then they put up a bunch of pictures, and I've got to get my head down there in the picture because they're not the clearest and plainest thing. And you got to check them off. That's maybe some of them might say, well, check every square that's got a car in it. So you begin to go through that. If you don't get them right, you're not going to get in until you get that right. And so the characteristics that we have, each one of us have different characteristics. So what I kind of thought on this line is the Christian is to be humble. Now I put that in 24 font. Hopefully that you can read it. Is everybody pretty well can read that? Okay. Humility is one of the traits, one of the characteristics that we need to have in our life in order that we can be satisfied with ourselves. Now, the opposite of satisfied or the opposite of being humble is what the writer says, and that is to be having a proud look. In Proverbs 6, the proverb writer in verse 16 talks about an individual who has a proud look, who is self-esteemed, and in our reading, and that's exactly the opposite of what Christ was. He didn't consider himself to be better than anyone else, and he esteemed other people better than himself. He was humble to his Father, even to the death of the cross. Humility is that which is submissive to someone or something. And we are to be submissive unto God. We are, as Christians, are to be obedient to his will. And the only way we can do that is to have a humble spirit and a humble attitude that we will submit to God. If we're not, then we're trying to put ourselves in a self-esteem position. Well, I know better. In our daily activities, things that we may do or something, you know, God may say, well, hey, you don't need to be doing that. But, you know, sometimes we say, well, I want to do that. I don't know if you want to call that self-will, self-worship. But that's one of our problems, I think, that Christians have. We're not willing enough to submit ourselves to the will of God in everything that we know to do that is right, that is holy. The Apostle Paul in Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 3, along with that same thought, that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than what we are. There's nothing wrong in being proud of who you are, what you're doing, as long as it's clean and wholesome activities. We need to be proud of ourselves. We consider ourselves proud that we are Christians, or at least we should, because we have a God, we have a Father that loves us and has provided those things for us. And if we'll humble ourselves and be obedient to that, we know we have those promises that He will care for us and take care for us and supply our daily needs. But we have to submit ourselves unto Him. We have to be humble. I think sometimes you find people, or I've known of people and kind of worked with people, really, in secular work. They just think if it wasn't for them, the company would just fold up. I am just the backbone of this company, and if I was to leave it, it would just fold up. You know, that's just how proud I am. And sometimes maybe you might run across a brethren sometimes that might think, well, if it wasn't for me, there wouldn't be no church in this particular location. You know, I'm the backbone of it. I'm the one that has really got this thing started and keeps it going, and kind of putting himself up above Christ. We have to be careful how we look at ourselves and the pride that we should have, as long as it's good, clean, and wholesome activities that we engage in, and the way that we want to have our lives reflecting in others, that they might see us and see that we are truly humble. It's a trait that we all have to work on from time to time. Kindness is another characteristic. And kindness is action, or sympathy in action. Be ye kind-hearted. Put on kindness, Colossians 3 and 12. Paul talks about. Again, this is illustrated in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses about 19 and 21. Just kind of praising it, paraphrasing it there. Paul says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him drink. He says, in doing so, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. In Luke, the 10th chapter, is the story of the Good Samaritan. And this is the individual then that was on his way and down to Jerusalem, starting about verse 25 and going through about verse 37, is that story of the man that was on the journey, and he got beat up by some thieves along the road, and he was left in the ditch to die. They had stole whatever he had, maybe even stripped his clothing. They figure, well, he got no need for it. And, you know, it says the Levi came down the road, and he seen him, and he just kind of moved over and passed on by him down the road. You know, he may have thought, well, you know, somebody else would be along later and help him out. And then you have the Levite. Priest was from the Levites. He come along, you know, and these are two of the individuals you really think that would be more than likely to understand what God wanted them to do to help this individual. God had given them many instructions in the Old Testament how they were to deal with the poor and the downtrodden, and how they were to help and how they were to treat their slaves and things. And here's an individual that's laying in the ditch and needs help, And the priest and the Levite just pass him on by. And generally we refer to, well, this poor old Samaritan come along, you know. Well, here was the Samaritan on the same road, possibly going about his business, or maybe even going to Jerusalem to, or Jericho to do some trading, you know. But the Jews, no, we have nothing to do with the Samaritans. They were the half-Jews that had Assyria and government had transferred the people in their thing and had them getting them mixed with the Jewish nation. And so the Jews just said, we don't have no dealing unless maybe we might go up on a flea market day, kind of paraphrase that a little bit. Might go up on a flea market day and we might do a little business, a little trading like that. But as far as any social activities, that was out. And I think you can see this in John the 4th chapter when Jesus now and his disciples took a shortcut and went through Samaria. And he talked with the woman at Jacob's well. And so here is showing kindness. And this fellow, you know, he just stopped. He bandaged him up to some degree. Maybe put a little oil on him. Hip the wound that he had. Put him on his burrow and took him into town. Made provision for him to stay there that night. And told the innkeeper, if it costs more, I'll be back here in a few days. And if it costs more, I'll settle up with you. So how do we show kindness? Do we express that or we just say, well, you know, somebody else will be along and they'll take care of it. We may not have that opportunity to find someone in that situation. But to be kind to one another in our speech and in our actions, how we react and act towards one another. Even in rebuking an individual, you can do it in kindness. Don't have to be harsh. Don't have to act bitter. And when we confront people who are engaging in things and try to talk to them, be as kind to them as you possibly can, not compromising the teaching of the truth or anything. But be kind when you are talking to an individual and trying to convert them or trying to show them some sympathy. Another thought that I come up with and as far as our characteristics, we are to be a forgiving people. We are to be a people who is willing to forgive and forget. And this is a saying that I've heard years ago, that you take a rose and you can smell it, you know, but it smells much better or stronger if you step on it. It gives out a stronger scent than what just the natural smell of that rose is. I was trying to think, one of the old elderly ladies at Piney Grove one time told me about a bush. Some of you ladies may know what I'm talking about, but it was a bush that had a bud on it that was very fragrant. And they used this for cologne. In the olden days when you didn't have money to buy cologne and things of this nature, but it was, I don't remember what it was, but it was a bud on that bush, and they would take it and rub on them, and that would give off a little scent. And I've heard some old-timers take vanilla flavoring, you know, and would maybe put a little dab of vanilla flavoring on just to make them smell a little bit better than normal. But forgiveness is that idea of forgiving someone that has done something to you, and you have a better relationship with that individual because of that. Sometimes that doesn't work out. But the thought is to be of forgiving others because God is forgiving us. And when God forgives, my understanding is that He forgets. That would be a great trait if we could all incorporate that in our lives. It would be a great characteristic. that you could forget what sin you have committed or what sin someone has committed against you and asking forgiveness for that. I realize Peter talked about that we are to remember certain things, and I've always said that sometimes it's best if we don't forget what we have done to a certain degree that it helps us not do it again. So if that's what you can do, if you can not forget a sin that you committed a long time ago because you keep it in your mind, I don't want to do that again. And so when that opportunity comes up, then that little buzzer goes off up and says, no, you don't need to do that. You've been forgiven of that. So help us to put on a better characteristic of being able to forgive. Forgiving others as God has forgiven us. Being peaceable is another characteristic that the Christian has, needs to have. And that is even being peacemakers that Jesus spoke about in Matthew the 5th chapter. In the Sermon on the Mount, verse 9. That these disciples are to be peacemakers. We are to try to make peace. First of all, sometimes we need to make peace with ourselves. And the way that we are acting and things that we may be doing. And let's get ourselves straightened out. And then we can be a better example for someone else and trying to make peace and get them to see the peace that God has and the peace that God gives us through obedience to His will. So, man says, and you may have heard some of these little anecdotes. Man says, going home for supper. I'm just getting off from work. I'm on my way home. Talking to some of his co-workers. And if the wife hasn't got supper on the table, I am going to be really upset. I'm going to just raise the roof. But if she has it ready, I'm not going to eat a bite. Now, what kind of person is that? Is that someone trying to seek peace? He's just an individual who is stubborn, so to speak, and just always wanting to stir up trouble or keep trouble going. And so, you know, it's that type of an individual that sometimes you might not be able to do anything with an individual of that attitude. And sometimes I've heard this old tale. An individual, I think Jerry Clower on one of his tapes had something similar to with this. And that is the individual who is coming in a meeting of some kind. And he's late. You know, he didn't get there at the start of the meeting. And so he comes in the meeting and their discussion. And he just blates out, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm not voting for it. So right away, you know, we know that type of an individual is not seeking peace. He's just wanting to stir up trouble. And not seek to be peaceable. But we have to have the attitude of trying to make peace with someone. Not compromising the truth. Not doing the things that are wrong to try to make peace. But doing those things that are right. This is what I'm thinking. I kind of mentioned this morning in our Bible study. But that is to be grateful. To be thankful. And 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and the first 5 verses of that chapter, the Apostle Paul writing to the young evangelist Timothy, he mentions several things there, and I'm not going to read them, but there you can take the time while I'm just talking, you read those if you wish. But he just mentions certain, and there are numerous things that he talks about that people are unthankful about. unloving, unkind, unforgiving, just numerous unknowns. That people just are not on the positive side. They're always on the negative side. And so this is why Paul says we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. We need to have the God who rules in us. And we need to be thanking him that he is our ruler. That he is our supplier of all spiritual blessings. You remember the story of the 10 lepers in Luke the 17th chapter? 10 lepers that Jesus met. He cleansed them. And they went on their way. One turned back and come back and gave him thanks and worshiped him, praised him, thanking him for what he had done. He said, I thought there was 10. Where's the 9? You know, those 9 were not thankful. They were ungrateful individuals that had been cleansed of a terrible disease that only a miracle could banish or take away, make them whole again. And this young man realized, I say young man, I don't know if he's a young man or old man, this individual recognized that he had been cleansed of this terrible disease and came back and was thankful unto the Christ. And so, I don't know if that's a good ratio or not, when you look at 1 out of 10 being thankful. 10 people who have been forgiven of their sins, they may go right out the next day and commit sins again, but one may be thankful enough that he'll strive to stay away from those sinful things. So to be grateful, to be thankful for the things that God has given unto us from daily basis. Another thought is to be easily entreated versus being stubborn or self-willed. James 3 and 17 points this out. This thought of being entreated, and I looked through Vines and some others, and it kind of carries with it the thought of ready to obey. And James talks about seeking that wisdom from above, which is easily entreated. It's easy to obey. We're talking about God's will. We're talking about the wisdom that comes from God. And that is his will for mankind. So it's easy to be entreated. It's ready to obey. It's to be persuaded by. It carries with the thought of that, which that wisdom which comes from above. Some of the other synonyms that go along with that is to ask, to beseech, to have comfort, to exhort, and have a desire to be obedient. And that's a characteristic that we need. We need not be self-willed. We need to be ready to obey when we have the need and know what we're to do. Tolerant versus the mote hunter. And I just put out there, mote hunter from Matthew the 7th chapter. And that come about with that. The story of the individual that judge not, be judged. You know, what judgment you be judged. And he's got this fellow running around. Some preachers used to say like a 4x4 or a 6x6. You got something in your eye. And you know, you ever get something in your eye? Of course, I had the misfortune of losing sight in this eye years ago. So when you do that, you have to compensate on different things. But I can remember back when that happened. Boy, that eye was just watering, and this one over here got the water, and I was trying to drive a bulldozer down the road, trying to get back to the truck. And I had just reached up and pulled that stick out of my eye. But be as it may, the watering of the eyes and everything. And so here's the individual's got a beam in his eye, and of course that's irritating. And so, but he's He's trying to get a little bit of speck out of somebody else's eye. He's trying to hold that eyelid up, take a little rag or something, getting that little speck out. And he can't see what he's doing. And so that is the picture of a mole hunter. And that's when we as individuals begin to look at someone else and not to be tolerant with them. To be tolerant carries with it this thought. I like these types of lessons sometimes because I have to dig and relearn what these words mean. Tolerant, talking about the golden rule, do unto others you would have them do unto you. The being to put up with. It says to permit to be done. Some synonyms for them is forbearance. Forbearing, being tolerant, having toleration. I didn't particularly agree with this dictionary that I had that I was looking at. But he had in there, and I suppose to some extent that might be applicable, because we see it in our nation today. Be tolerant for people who want to worship as they please. We are tolerant when that happens. Other people, even around here this evening, are worshiping as they please. And we tolerate that. And maybe rightfully so. We don't have the right to go over there and run them off, so to speak, and be in a violent mode. But we need to be tolerant with individuals that are trying to do the will of God. We need to be tolerant with one another in our daily activities as we are trying to do what God said. And I realize that, you know, maybe even we are not tolerant enough with our own families, maybe, you know. Because we want them to excel. We want them to be good. We want them to be better. And you know, so sometimes we might press members of our family more so than other members of the body of Christ. But Vine puts this in another context and applies it to God. God is tolerant. God is forbearing. God is bearing with us in that he has not executed punishment on us yet. So God is tolerant. He's forbearing. He's bearing with us. He's being patient. Why can't we, as mere individuals, be tolerant with other people? And I realize that there are things sometimes that come up that you just have to stand tall for it and straighten your back up and go on regardless. But do it in kindness and do it peaceable and to the point that you're trying to show someone and to get them to become obedient to the gospel of Christ or to be doing that which is right rather than that which is wrong. And another thought along this disposition that we need to have a characteristic, and that is fairness. We need to be fair with one another. And again, this is pointed out in Philippians, the second chapter in our reading that we had. And that is the thought of not looking on our own things, but looking on the things of others. Be fair with one another in your criticism, in your way of dealing with your co-workers, dealing with your families. Be fair. Don't expect something out of them that you would not be doing or acting yourself. It's unselfishness. And then finally, and I'll leave the lesson to you, and that is that we are to have the characteristics of being courageous. There's so much talked about courage, and we generally refer to Joshua when God told Joshua to take courage, take note, and be of good cheer and be courageous. You know, go in and do these things that I've commanded you, and I'm with you, and show courage as a leader. Jude says that we are contend earnestly for the faith that's been once delivered for all. We have to stand for something, or we're going to stand against nothing. In our daily activities, there's going to come up a situation where you may have to say, no, I can't do that. And you might have to come up with a situation and say, no, you don't need to be doing that either. I can't do it because I'm a Christian, and you don't need to be doing it. Even though you are of one of the world, you still should not be doing that. And we see this in activities today in society, on the news, newspaper, government. People are just not fair with one another. People don't have enough courage to speak the truth and then back it up. Seems like everybody wants to tell a lie and make that to be the truth. And so we have to incorporate these particular things in our life. And we need to stand tall, and we need to stand for the Lord and for His church and for His word. The psalmist says in Psalms 97, verse 10, love the Lord and hate evil. Psalms 119, 104, he says, I hate every false way. So we need to be humble. We need to be kind. We need to be forgiven. We need to be peaceable. We need to be grateful. We need to be easily entreated, that is, ready to obey the will of God. We need to be tolerant, forbearing. Be patient, fairness, and then to have courage to carry out our convictions. If you're here this evening and never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would encourage you that you would think seriously about your life, your situation. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't had the blood of Christ applied to your life, you're still in your sins. If you die in your sins, you'll face God in judgment. And he may have to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. You need to believe, you need to confess, you need to repent of your sins and to be baptized for the remission of those sins and let God add you to his family. You can be added to his family as a church. You can work and live in his kingdom. Prepare yourself for a much better place, and that is the heaven that we will enjoy throughout eternity. If you have obeyed the gospel and have erred from the truth, and had been as faithful as you should be, then you need to, with the prayers of the saints, show your repentance, your confession, and pray to God. Even as Simon the Sorcerer was told to do in the book of Acts.